This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And welcome. I'm so happy to have you here today. Motherhood is literally the mother of all jobs. I mean, no matter what we do in our lives, giving birth to children and raising them to be healthy adults is the most important achievement in our lives, but it's also the most difficult one as well. Why? Well, because there really is no book or resource on earth that can prepare you for the real thing. It is a role that continually changes as we and our children age. From the time of conception through birth and even on our last breath, our role as mother and parent is embedded in us like the cells that make up our very being. So we are so proud here at EWN Radio Network to have Tara Darlington as one of our new radio hosts. She hails all the way from Australia, hosting a show all about motherhood. It's called Empowering Motherhood, and it airs live on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. I believe that's 1 p.m. Australia time, which is the next day on Wednesday. But if you can't listen live, of course, you can listen to the recording on EWNRadioNetwork.com. So thank you, Tara Darlington, for joining us today on Close Up and on EWN Radio Network.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm so excited to be here.
So you have a quote on your Empowering Motherhood Radio Facebook page by Susie Carter that I love. And it says, "When I change you, I change your children and your children's children." And it's so true. So I know how that speaks to me, but explain what that quote means to you.
Well, when we work on ourselves through our mentors, our guides, you know, listening to information, whichever way we're sort of growing and learning about ourselves, which is one of, you know, my goals with a radio show. I want to bring that, be a resource to people, be a mentor to people, be one of those go-to people that all women need as part of their journey in motherhood. So you're changing the way you understand yourself, the way you act, react, the way you show up in the world. And therefore, of course, you're changing the way you bring up the children, your children and everyone else around you. But you're giving your children more awareness just by simply the way you are with them, the way you talk with them, the choices that you make for them and with them. And then, of course, that person's changed for the better and become more consciously aware, and they're going to pass that down to their children and hopefully keep on growing and making the world a better place on a personal level and on a much more global level as well.
So you know a little bit about motherhood because you're a mother of six.
I am.
And that is a lot of kids. Are they all your biological children?
They sure are. And no twins in there as well. We always get asked if there's twins in there. Yeah, they're all mine. They range from 3 to 16. And, yeah, they're all gorgeous and have their own personalities and, you know, they're just a pleasure to have. It's a pleasure to have lots of children. It brings a whole new vibe to the household and to your life, especially the dinner table and the laundry.
Oh, my goodness, I can't even imagine the laundry.
That's the only thing that is just as much work. The only thing that's six times more work is the laundry.
Yeah, I bet. And shopping, I kind of think that grocery shopping has got to get thrown in there. And are all your kids involved in lots of different things, so are you running them around every minute?
Yeah, they're involved in their sports and their, you know, all sorts of things, whatever they've got going on. So there is a lot of running around. I did make a particular effort this year to, because our school year in Australia started last week. So I did make a particular effort to really organise myself and try and be as organised as I could. So, you know, that works for everybody. Yeah.
So you know, when I have two children of my own, and they're 18, they're 20 months apart, I'm sorry, a boy and a girl, and they're, one is 22, the other one's 20 right now. So I'm sort of past that stage of running them around. But I do know from my own experience that both of my children are completely different, and that I felt as a mother that I had to parent them differently. Do you find with six kids that you've got six different personalities and you have to parent each one in a different way?
Oh, absolutely. And I always joke with everyone that in the fifth and sixth one, you thought you got away with passing on some traits of yourself that maybe weren't your favorite, and they pop up in the last one. So, yeah, they're all different. And, you know, of course, always a mix of my husband and I, and yeah, they've all got their own energy, their own stuff, their own things that they need to work on, their own strengths. So we really work on helping them to develop their strengths, and also, you know, help them with things that are more of a struggle for them, to help build up their confidence around those things. Yeah.
You know, my mother always said, my mother was a teacher and a wonderful teacher, and one of the most important things for her in order to get her kids to connect with her kids is she said, if you respect them, they'll respect you. And one thing I find a lot with parents is sometimes you'll see them is that they take on this role of, I'm the authority. You do because I say so. I want you to do this because this is what I did. And I feel that there is an inherent lack of respect for their own children and their own individuality. And you just pointed out that you've got to find their strengths and you've got to capitalize on that and help them, you know, grow and on those strengths. What do you say to people who take on that authoritative role? I mean, do you agree with me that respecting your children is of the utmost importance?
Absolutely. So children, all of us, but particularly children, they learn through imitation. So ultimately, we have to look at ourselves and see, you know, are we worthy of imitation? You know, some things will naturally be worthy of imitations. Other things we probably need to work on a little bit. And respect is one of them. I ask all of my clients, you know, what qualities do you want your child to walk out the door with when they're, you know, 7, 14, 18, 22? And, you know, it's the same list that always comes back, and respect is one of those things that's on that list. So we have to teach them respect. We have to give them an example of respect to imitate. If we show them respect, they will show you respect and the next person that comes along, because they'll understand what that experience is.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll just give you another example about for me, my daughter is an artist, and we knew from very early on that was tremendously talented. And so we nurtured that over, you know, her whole life. We made sure she went to schools that focused on art, and, you know, we just really nurtured that, gave her lessons and explored that. And of course, my as a parent, I saw her going to art school and doing sort of the traditional thing. But what she wanted to do is become, and she knew this from the time she was in 10th grade, was to become a tattoo artist. And of course, me as a sort of traditional mom, I'm like, oh no. And even her teacher, she went to a nationally renowned art magnet here. And their whole goal was sending them to college. And I had to really step back, and the best way I could mother her was to let her be what she wanted to be, and she's thriving now. I mean, she's doing great and had to go through a lot of difficult times through her apprenticeship, four or five years of apprenticeship, and kind of torture, you know, the way they haze them and all of this, But the truth is that she's thrived, and as a parent, I really had to step back. And what my question to you is, when a child has something they want to do or they believe, you mean, it's as a parent, what would you advise a parent so that they can accept that it's their child's decision and their child's wants and desires and not yours? How does a parent actually step back? I know how I did. I cried a lot, but I finally got it. What would your advice be?
Well, you need to connect with them, and you need, you know, ultimately we're all going to be happiest when we're doing what we love, and we're going to be more successful doing what we love as well. So you need to define your, look at your definition of success as well, and really analyze that a little bit and see, you know, what is success to you and what's going to be success to your child. So I've heard quite a lot of stories like that. I have a friend who, her daughter wanted to be a DJ. And that sounded like, oh, no, you know, same sort of story as what you're saying. But, you know, they supported her. She worked hard. She's, you know, you turn the radio on, there she is. She's huge in America. She's from Australia. And she's followed her dream and done what she was good at. So, you know, if you fight against them, they're going to fight back. And if you really want it, really comes back to thinking about what it is you want, you know, you want for your children. You want them to be happy, healthy, intelligent, kind, compassionate, then, you know, let them nurture that. But you have to let them have their own way. They don't, especially these generations, there's been books written about it, that they don't like to be told. They don't like to do things just because you said so. They want to know why. It's not a good enough answer for them.
What was your childhood like? Were you raised in a big family and raised in the way that you're now, that you parent?
Pretty much. I mean, I had two siblings, one older, one younger, and ultimately, you know, we were raised with love, compassion and kindness. And I think that's really the bottom line for everybody, you know, it really is. We were very much encouraged to do what we love to do, but I think really all of it boils down to love, compassion and kindness. And you're raising someone to go out and do whatever it is that they may do, be it a tattoo artist or a DJ, with love, compassion and kindness. And, you know, that's really what, for me, that's what I want to set up in my children. I also want them to stay really connected to themselves and really, that deep connection with who they are. And I think I lost my way with that for a few years when I went to uni and all that stuff. And it took my 20s to, you know, sort of go on that journey to come back to that.
What is uni for us in America? Is that university?
Yeah, university. Okay. Yeah, so college, right. I guess you call that, didn't you?
Right. Yeah. We call it university too. Some are college, some are university. There's actually a distinction. I never quite understood what it was. So you
So it's a degree.
It's a degree. You're also a yoga teacher, an educator, an energy healer. How does that philosophy, in particular the yoga philosophy, play into the way you parent?
Well, I learn a lot about myself. I learn a lot from my clients about how what's happened in their life is affecting them now. And that's where we can learn. So we can say, okay, if you were spoken like this, in this way, A, B or C, then, you know, people's experience may be this, that or the other. So we become more aware of how we're talking, the words that we use. You know, then you feel like you know what you're doing a little bit. You know, this works and this doesn't, or this might have this consequence or the other. Now, the Dalai Lama has said that if all eight-year-olds were taught meditation, that he believes that we would eliminate violence from the world in one generation. That's a pretty powerful statement. So, you know, as a parent with the yoga teaching, you know, my kids have been brought up to stop and take a deep breath when they're getting upset. You know, breathing properly, that's a really big thing. And also to really connect with how they feel and how other people feel. So I think that's probably one of the biggest things, that, you know, yoga is about awareness. Yoga is about letting go of all the talk and being able to get a clear mind and do what's really right for you to live a happy, healthy life that's balanced. So, you know, that's what we're working on, I guess.
I'm going to take a short break, but, you know, I want to get into that. It's very difficult to be a kid these days, and it's very difficult to parent because there are so many sources of information and pressures coming at kids. And to weed through all that and to help as a parent guide them through is even that much more challenging. So I do want to step into that a little bit when we come back from this short break.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
You're listening to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back. Having a wonderful conversation with Tara Darlington about probably my favorite subject, and that is motherhood. Tara Darlington is one of our new radio hosts on EWN Radio Network. Her show is called Empowering Motherhood. And we've just really been talking, and she knows what she's talking about, because if you missed the first segment, just to tell you, she's got 6 kids, and there are no twins in there, so these are 6 births. And Tara is a yoga teacher, educator, energy healer, and really, Tara, you're basically the essence of parenting and the value that you put on it, and what you do when you work with your people, with clients, and is underlying good parenting is basically teaching love, compassion, and kindness. And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the challenges of being a kid in today's society with so much information on the internet. And which is a good thing. I'm not against the internet. I'm not anti-internet. I think it's a marvelous tool. But I also think that there's so much information, and that parents also, with all that flood of information, where we are now connected globally. I mean, you're in Australia, and I'm talking to you like you're next door. How do you help us? How do you help those parents in terms of dealing with the internet? What can parents do? And it's not just the internet. I mean, that's just a way of we're getting so much information. I think it's causing kids to have ADHD and because there's their attention span is diminished because everything is done so quickly, you know, in 140 characters, you know, or so how do we parent, or do you, let me ask you this, do you find it more challenging in this society that we're in today? And what do you do with your 6 kids and sort of keep them centered in this very, you know, crazy, difficult world?
Well, we're definitely facing new challenges with attention span and, you know, I think generally all of us and children especially are overstimulated and they used to be entertained and not to entertain themselves. I get, you know, every day someone will say, oh, wow, look how your children entertain themselves. So we really limit, the TV and screens. Our kids don't get any during the week. If it's a school day, there's no TV, there's no anything. It's go and climb a tree, go and play outside. And funnily enough, we were reading something last night about, you know, Google and Mac and all those IT companies. You know, their children go to schools where they don't have computers in the room, because what you want to nurture is creativity. What you want to nurture is that ability to be creative, to think clearly, to come up with new ideas and to really connect with the world around you. And, you know, that's one of our key things, is really helping the kids to connect with the world around them. And that comes back to, if you're not connecting with the world around you, you won't have any empathy for the next person or a situation. And it does, that overstimulation and being fed, being entertained all the time, really does, you know, it's a big cause of children not being able to sit still at school and not have that ability to sit and concentrate on something.
Yeah. Why did you feel it was important to do a show about empowering mothers?
Well, Sandra Yancey was just saying in the promo for EWN, for eWomen's Network, that you're not supposed to do it on your own. And that's the same with motherhood. You're not supposed to do it on your own. You know, our nuclear family now, we don't have that extended family around us. So a lot of women are isolated. A lot of women are feeling really alone on their path and looking for some answers. So there's a couple of things there. The first thing is, you know, I see my job and particularly the radio station is to help you navigate that information, help you work out what's right for you. So I can find the good information and I've already deconstructed it and I can and pass it on. But the second step to that is really practicing, once you've got information, to turning in and listening to yourself, really connecting with your instinct and seeing what is it that's right for you and your family, which is going to be different for everybody. So getting, I love the definition of wisdom. It's education or information, it's or knowledge. It's all, the second part of wisdom is experience, and the third part of wisdom is good judgment, or which is the same as your, you know, following your instinct. So you need to get the information, you need to listen to other people's experiences, have your own experience, and ultimately really, you know, turn all those other voices down and connect with yourself and listen to what is the right thing for you and your family at that moment.
Yeah, I think it's so easy for us to say, well, that parent does that over there and those kids do that over there and I'm not a good mother because I'm not getting my kids to do this, or my kids are having issues at school, therefore I am a bad mother. I mean, I'm the queen of that, right? You know, you say in your show description that you help women move from feeling disempowered to empowered about their role as a mother. What are the most common concerns you get from mothers that you work with that makes them feel so disempowered? What are some of the things they tell you?
Well, they're mostly feeling concerned. So often they are doing the right thing when they're just doing listening to their instincts. Then they start getting other people's opinions and advice and books and this and that and feel like they should be doing it some other way. And when they start doing that other way that doesn't feel right for them, then they start feeling just confused and disempowered, and their confidence drops. And then they start looking even more outward for all of the answers. Once they connect in with the right thing, I always say to my women, you will know when it's right for you. It will just feel right. Just the way we work with all the other areas of our life. We need to apply... you know, having a mentor, we need to apply dedicating some time, weekly time, to learning more, to understanding ourselves, to understanding what is your role as a mother, looking after yourself as well. So we easily get into that role of looking after everybody else and not looking after ourselves. And I think, you know, quite a lot of us have been brought up that to be independent woman is standing up on your own two feet. But motherhood doesn't work like that, and you really need to allow yourself to be vulnerable, allow someone to help you. I always look at it as someone's going to look after you, and then you're going to look after the next person. You know, someone might bring you food when you're not feeling well and feed your children, and then you can do that for somebody else when they're in that position. So I think that support is absolutely massive, and because we live in a nuclear family, we're really feeling lonely, and all of that undermines our confidence.
Yeah, it sure does. And I know in the States, it's like that people are families are so disconnected. You know, we travel, we take jobs away from our nuclear, you know, our family, our extended family. And I raised my kids without my parents. My parents are in New York and I'm in Dallas. And the truth is that they're amazing grandparents, but they weren't here to help me raise my children. And I feel that we all missed out on it, but it's kind of the circumstances. This is, you know, where it took me, where life took me. And there's a lot of that here in America. You're in Australia, and as I said, I'm in the U.S. Is there a difference in general about our approach to motherhood, if you know of it, or compared to Australia's approach, to motherhood? In other words, is there? I guess we can start from the government, and then even in business. You know, our business is supportive of parenting, giving the appropriate time off and so forth.
Well, we get a lot of US media in Australia, and, you know, our subconscious mind is really programmed from all those things we hear and see on a regular basis. So I think in that respect, there are a lot of Australia is becoming more and more Americanized, and there's discussion around that here because we are getting so much media from the US, TV shows, ads, products, all that sort of stuff. So what we need to do is look at how we're programming our subconscious mind. And, you know, I know there's a fabulous book called French Children Don't Throw Food. Mm-hmm. It's written by a girl in the US. And she was in France and realized, hang on a minute, all these French children are sitting still. They're eating at the restaurant the same as their parents are eating. And she really noticed a massive difference in that upbringing. The book's fantastic. She goes and looks, really goes into this massive research journey on the difference. And some of that is one of the points, which is really fascinating, is that the helicopter parenting that's happening in the US, it happens here too, the hovering over your child, so you're not giving them space to grow and develop. And the French don't seem to do that, and that was one of the big things that she noticed, how much more independent the children are. So ironically, we think we're bringing up independent children by controlling what they do, but, you know, Western society has, you know, the more dependent children in the world. If you compare to, you know, a child in Africa who might walk at 7 years old a few kilometres to get water, you know, we certainly wouldn't let our child do that, nor would we think that they were capable of doing that. So, you know, looking at where we hold the bar for ourselves and our children at their capability. So what's age appropriate? What can they handle emotionally? But then what are they capable of? And often they're capable of a lot more than what we give them credit for.
Well, I think what sometimes happens is parents see their children as a reflection of them. So they're afraid if their kids fail, in a way it's a reflection on them that they have failed. So they helicopter parent because they're so afraid of their kids failing. And the truth is failure is fabulous. I mean, I even did a radio show for one of my earlier shows is called Fabulous Failure. You have to fail to grow. And many parents are afraid to do that. And in terms of here, generally to get maternity leave, it's maternity leave for the most part. And there, I guess there is some companies that do paternity, but it's about 6 weeks here max. Are most businesses in Australia the same, or they get period of time?
Yeah, look, we get longer period of time. I won't quote anything because I have to say I've had six children, and every time it's been different. So it changes all the time. You know, the payments that the government will give support, the time that they give support is different. But one thing that we do know is that in Northern Europe, the mothers get 1 to 2 years. And the fathers in some of those countries also get a whole year off because we know that one-to-one care in early childhood is so important. So we really do need to keep, you know, there's always a discussion, daycare, and productivity and getting women back into the workplace, which, you know, on one level is great for women's rights and moving forward in that direction, but then we need to balance that out with the needs of the children. And the children really do benefit from that at-home, one-to-one care in the early days, or as much of that as you can give them. Yeah.
I never felt that 6 weeks was enough. I mean, it's so hard as a mother, especially a first-time mother, when you have your child. It's so hard to leave them. I know for me it was. So we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about discipline. Everyone's got an opinion on that. And coming up, we'll ask Tara Darlington her advice around how to appropriately discipline our children.
Hi, I'm Janelle McCauley, the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, right here on the EWN Radio Network. Join me every Thursday to find out how you can take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak. Just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the food you love. Each week, I'll bring you powerful and revealing interviews with doctors, health experts, and people just like you who have learned to create a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love. I look forward to serving you great content and healthy tips on Eat Great, Live Well Radio. And remember, if you can't listen to me live, you can always get the replay at EWNRadioNetwork.com. I invite you to join me each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, here on the EWN Radio Network, and let's create your healthy future together.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with your host, Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back to Close Up. Yes, this is Phyllis Smith. I'm talking with Tara Darlington. And Tara hails all the way from down under in Australia. And we're so excited because she's joined EWN Radio Network as one of our illustrious hosts. And she has her program is called Empowering Motherhood. And that's what we've been talking about. Is motherhood. It's the most rewarding and yet probably and the most difficult thing you can do because so much is riding on you and doing it well. But on the other hand, Tara, don't you think that we take on such responsibility, but as we were just talking about, you've got to let your kids take on some of that responsibility as well to create independent children. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely I do. I mean, because I've got six, my children have to do a lot more than other children would have to do because I simply can't do it all. So, you know, my daughter's nearly six. She'll be 16 in a week or so. She's been doing her washing and my washing for quite a few years because she, otherwise her clothes weren't washed, you know. Clothes couldn't get through everything. So, yep. You know, just in a bigger family, they are, forced into allowing the children to do a lot more, and you can see how they reap the benefits from that.
One of the things that I think is the most difficult and the most confusing is discipline. You manage, as you were just saying, you manage six kids. So what are your values, your inherent values around discipline?
Well, again, we need to start looking at what are we trying to achieve? What qualities are you trying to nurture in your child? And as we said earlier, you know, each child's different. They have their different strengths. They have their different weaknesses. So you don't really want to crush strong will. So strong will is highly valued in the workplace, yet we try to crush that out of our children. We don't want to crush self-direction. Again, it's highly valued in the workplace, and yet we, you know, try to stop that all the time. So really looking at what is that you're actually trying to achieve. And we need to reframe discipline. We need to look at words and concepts like boundaries. So my children have very strong boundaries, but they have a lot of freedom within those boundaries. And the boundaries are always need to be age-appropriate, physically and emotionally. So we need to learn, I think, as a society, a lot more about emotional well-being and how to develop emotional well-being, looking at ourselves, healing from trauma, and So that what we do is looking at their physical well-being, emotional well-being as well. So we want to look at boundaries. We want to look also really at rhythms and routines and rituals. Rituals is a big thing in our society that we don't do so much anymore. But they really, really help ground the children and give them a place to come back to all the time where they feel safe and secure and can check in with themselves and their own values, your family values.
When you say rituals, do you mean like every night at such and such we have dinner? Or, you know, do you mean like kind of structuring their life in a certain way where things get done at a certain time? Or is that what you mean?
Yeah, well, with children, you sort of have to let go of time a little bit, you know. Time is not necessarily your friend. So I like to look at rhythms. So talk about rhythms rather than timing. And it really changes the girls' lives, the women's lives, when they start looking at rhythm. So looking at how much time is spent engaging outward and being energetic and loud, and then making sure that's balanced at the right time with coming inward. So a lost art is got to be the bedtime story time. You know, that seems to be less and less these days. That's a really important time to help the children turn inward before bedtime. Now, whether it happens at 6:30 or 7 isn't really, you know, the point. The point is that they're practicing that being out and outward and energetic and connecting outward and social, and when they're coming inward, taking some time out, letting that all wash away and turning inward. So that's the rhythms. You can look through that way. And there might be weekly rhythms, monthly rhythms. But the rituals are little things that help. Okay, so we always eat at the table. Everyone eats at the table. No one's allowed to bring anything to the table. No toys, no books, no iPods. And that becomes a ritual. The dinner time becomes a ritual. The children love talking. They love sharing their stories. They love getting up on their soapbox and telling everybody what they think. And in that way, they're actually practicing conversation. So through that ritual of marking certain things in a certain way, you know, we do have Christmas and you guys have got Thanksgiving and, you know, we have those things that definitely bring the family together. But we need more of those things dotted along the way.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned something a little bit earlier about strong will, that we tend to want to repress strong-willed kids because we're threatened by them. You know, they might speak out in a classroom, or you know, it doesn't mean they don't have respect. It just means they're strong-willed. So, as a parent, let's say you want your child to go to bed, and they're saying, "I don't want to go to bed." You know, and they're putting their stamp in their feet and say, "I'm not going to bed, and you can't make me." What would you say as a parent? What would be a way to handle that? Because the idea of that they're standing their ground is a good thing, but on the other hand, it's against the rules at that time.
Yeah, well, you need to look at your rules, make sure they're working for you. Sometimes you might just be sticking to a rule for the sake of it, and it's completely not working for you. And of course, there's going to be different at different ages. I mean, you can't force a 16-year-old really to go to bed. You can force them. You can turn off the Wi-Fi so they can't be on the internet any longer. You can't really force them to bed so much, but you want to set up. Ideally, we want to set up good habits early on. So, you know, my 16-year-old knows that she's tired. She might get a headache sometimes, and she won't perform her best if she's been to bed late. So, you know, she's learned to monitor that herself from a very, you know, same with food. You eat for tomorrow. You eat for what you need to do today. You're having a big day, or you're having a small day. You know, you eat a very different breakfast if you've got a you're doing a marathon that day, if you're having a fairly quiet day at school. So, you know, the more we can set up this stuff earlier, the better. But then say with bedtime, I had the bedtime thing last night, with all of them. Now, I was really tired. I hadn't slept well the night before, and so I was really, really tired last night. Now, my kids wanted to go to the pool. And I honestly, I couldn't be bothered. I did not have the energy to take them, so I didn't. So the consequence was that they, none of them wanted to go to bed. None of them wanted to settle down. I had to drag them out of bed this morning. But what they needed was they hadn't finished burning off their energy yet.
Hmm.
So the problem wasn't really with them not having burnt their energy yet, not going to bed. The problem started with me not sleeping well the night before. And really, yesterday I probably should have had a cat nap. Then I would have had the energy to actually take them out last night. They were all asking after school to go, and they wanted to go for a swim, but really just anything. They had energy to burn. So start looking back a little bit further at what's going on. And I love the saying that it's not what's not working with your children, what's wrong with your child, what's not working for your child. So maybe the routine's not working. Maybe, they haven't had enough dinner. Maybe they're, some days they want to eat more than other days. I know I don't eat exactly the same amount every day. So why would we think that our children would want to eat exactly the same amount every day? So, yeah, so look, I think the advice is really to look at the problem on a much bigger level. Look back a few days. Look at what's not working for the child.
One of the trickiest things, I believe, and it's just because I've seen it, in the realm of motherhood is being a step-parent. And that's whether you're a step-parent or you're married to one. It seems like there are different rules for them. I have a friend who has two children of her own from a previous marriage, and then she got remarried and the two of them had their own child. And he is forever the step-parent. If he tries to help and discipline, it's my kids, not your kids. And I can't imagine she's the only one that goes through this. So what do you think is the best approach for being a step-parent in dealing with their stepchildren, especially when it comes to discipline?
Well, the step-parent needs to understand that it's going to take quite a lot of time to build a relationship with the child before they can come anywhere near disciplining. And then, of course, the parents need to hopefully be on the same page. So that's also going to take time to understand, where the other parent's coming from, what they're trying to achieve, and educating each other, working together to become more aware of what you're doing. And again, when we come back to, okay, this is what we're trying to achieve, this is what qualities we want to nurture in the children, then from there, I think everything becomes a lot easier, it's a lot clearer to make decisions. But there's definitely consensus on step parents needing to spend quite a time creating a relationship before they can come anywhere near discipline. But the other thing on discipline is that you want to look at the natural consequence. So, children these days will not accept a discipline that is not relevant. So we look for natural consequence. So the natural consequence of, jumping around at the table might be, well, we're trying to relax, that's not good for our digestion, so you can sit still or you can leave the table, or not being able to behave the way you want them to if you go out for dinner. Well, the natural consequence is we're trying to have a nice night out and we can't while you're doing that, so next time I'm going to get a babysitter, which would work better for you and for them perhaps. So looking at the natural consequence, and as a high school thing, it's like if you haven't done your homework, well, at lunchtime, you're going to be kept in to finish your homework. So because what we're trying to achieve is the homework being done. So what are you trying to achieve at that time? I love the term natural consequence, because that's what happens as an adult as well. As an adult, there's a natural consequence of not going to bed on time, of not brushing your teeth, of not doing the homework that you were supposed to do, etc. You haven't. There's a natural consequence for me of not making the lunches the night before.
Yes, I can imagine with six kids. Yeah, that's so true. And so often you hear about a parent, taking away their child's computer for a month. And after a while, I don't think the kid even knows why they don't have the computer anymore. And it might not be even related to whatever they did that required that discipline. It could have absolutely nothing to do with the computer. It could have something to
That's
do
right.
with, you know, it doesn't. So I completely agree with you, and I'm sure there's research on it that what works best is the natural consequences, because then they learn themselves.
You're teaching them to be a responsible, right. considerate adult, which is, well, those words are on people's list when I ask them, what do you want your child to walk out the door with? You know, responsible, considerate, you know, so teach them those things. Teach them those things.
We're going to take another, one last break here, but when we come back, we're going to talk about being an entrepreneur or a working mom in both cases. You know, an entrepreneur, really, your business is your child, and how you negotiate both. And it's, eWomen Network is a support network for women entrepreneurs, and so I know there's a lot of eWomen Network listeners, so we want to talk about how does that play into being a successful parent as well as being a working parent. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, this is Steve Gibb, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. You can listen to us Tuesdays, noon Eastern, on the EWN Radio Network. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. Listen to me and my guest, Tuesdays, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on the EWN Radio Network, as we help you learn how you can be a thriving entrepreneur.
Welcome back to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back to our final segment on Close Up. We're speaking with Tara Darlington. Tara Darlington is in Australia. She is one of our newest EWN Radio Network hosts of the Empowering Motherhood. And so I want to talk about so many of our eWomen Network. I mean, eWomen Network, we are a support system for women entrepreneurs. And so, and as I said before going into the break, being an entrepreneur in itself is like caring for a child. I mean, it's your baby. And so how do, as a parent, if we are also a parent and we have our own babies, how do we negotiate? How do we balance the two?
Well, I think for me, it's, taking some time out, which is really hard to do as a mother or as an entrepreneur. So, scheduling time out and, going to yoga, for example, is, a place where you can really give yourself that hour and a half to center yourself, to let everything wash off, calm your nervous system, clear the mind. And I work a lot with the moon cycle. So women traditionally worked with the cycles of the moon, and with the new moon, when the moon's dark, a lot of societies around the world, the women would actually take some designated time off to be instead of do, some bit of time not doing. And I find that really helpful for me, because you look up in the sky and think, oh, the dark moon's coming, the new moon's coming. I've really got to schedule some time for myself, whether it's, dinner out with the girls or a massage or just not scheduling a busy day that day. So, that's what I do.
Mm. On your Empowering Motherhood Radio Facebook page, you posted a testimony from Jada Pinkett Smith. She's the wife of actor Will Smith. And I guess she was on the radio show Michael Bazedon live radio show. Which was about the war on men through the degradation of women. And one of the profound things that Jada said is, how is man to recognize his full self, his full power, through the eyes of an incomplete woman? The woman who has been stripped of goddess recognition and diminished to a big ass and full breast for physical comfort only. So do you think that the thing that about empowering motherhood, it's not just about empowering mothers to be good mothers, but actually empowering women to be their full selves?
Yeah, absolutely. We've lost contact with sort of who we are and you know, what we're here for in a lot of ways. Now, I think being an entrepreneur comes quite naturally to women because we're used to having lots of balls in the air, being very creative, going this way and that way, wearing a lot of hats. I mean, you wear just as many hats as an entrepreneur as you do as a mother. And, you know, I think that's why a lot of women are drawn to being to entrepreneurial work, aside from the fact that then, you know, when you do have children, while you have children, you can work around your children, make your own schedule a little bit more. So they work together so beautifully. Now, women have, women's, you know, secret women's business has become so secret we don't even know it ourselves. You know, we've really lost contact with pregnancy and birth and the cycles of menstruation and coming into that role of mother. Now, I also want to make the point here that even if you don't have children, you, no doubt you're mothering, and this applies to you, and we honour you just as much. You know, whether you're looking after your sister, your family, someone else's children, your mother, you know, your friend, you're still coming into that maternal mothering role, and so many women are doing that even if they don't have children. I love it when those ladies come to my workshops because they recognise themselves as a nurturer even without children. So what we need to do is really, we get a lot of power from really connecting with these ancient traditions that we've lost. So, for example, the resting with the new moon, women report, and I've had this experience myself because I only started working with it really a couple of years ago, feeling more energy each month after your period rather than feeling more exhausted. And regularly taking that time to clear our thoughts and listen to our, let our intuition, our creativeness pop up. So even as an entrepreneur, you take that time out. It's a very powerful time to take time out because of the way the moon is not pulling on us. So that women, it's been reported so often that women get amazing insights, ideas, creative urges, and really clear on what direction they need to go in for the next month. So there's a lot of wisdom in reconnecting the woman and making the woman whole again, and us learning our own secrets that we've hidden from, you know, been hidden from one way or another. And then, of course, in that, we'll be healing our men, giving our, you know, it all works hand in hand, obviously. And you know, a man standing by beside a woman who's whole and healthy and confident and strong is always going to feel, you know, so worthy and proud and motivated to get on with what they need to do.
What about women who don't have their period anymore and that new moon comes? I guess the same applies to them because, as you say, the moon acts in ways in terms of, you know, gravitational pull, and we're made up of mostly water and so I guess the same applies for women who don't get their period anymore.
It does, and yet that cycle is still there, absolutely. And what you'll find is that when women have worked, you know, the menopausal symptoms of, you know, really a new world thing. So a lot of the way we're exhausting ourselves is coming up as those sort of symptoms with, you know, having all those menopausal signs, all the signs of, you know, period pain and all those sort of things. A lot of that is coming from the way we're out of sync with our rhythm and not looking after ourselves and missing out on that opportunity on a month, on a regular basis to really connect with what we're needing at that time. So even with the from your first period onwards, practicing that resting time means that you've practiced it for later on when you do have a baby and you do need to keep taking that time out. I mean, new mums find it really, really hard to sit at home for 3 months and look after the baby. That urge to do other things because we haven't practiced sitting still and just taking some time out. I mean, I give my daughter the day off school on the first day of her period.
Wow.
Which isn't, you know, it's not 12 times a year because by the time you've got holidays and weekends, you know, it really works out to be a couple of times a year, but she really needs that rest at that time. And the media's told us to carry on and pretend it doesn't happen and we should be ashamed of it. But actually, it's got a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom there for us once we reconnect.
Yeah. Tell us about some of the guests you're going to have on your upcoming shows.
Oh, well, I'm really excited about the guests that I've got. On the note that we were just talking about, I've got Jane Hardwick Collings coming, who's a shamanic midwife. Her whole work is around reclaiming the feminine through power, through reconnecting with the women's mystery. So, and the shamanic midwife, that means connect, you know, that midwife within you that looks after you and guides yourself. So that'll be interesting for anyone who this is touching a nerve with, saying, there might be something in there for me. This week I've got Maha El Moussa, who does belly dancing for birth. And again, she's reconnecting women with an ancient tradition of becoming more emotionally and physically connected to their body during pregnancy and birth. And we're going to talk to her about how that then helps you as you develop through motherhood and healing as well. So if you haven't done this through your pregnancy and birth, there's ways to use these tools to bring healing and reconnect you at any time of your life. I've got the lovely Ali Taylor, whose book is called Becoming Us, and she's done a lot of research on the stages of your relationship from birth onwards and found that there's definite stages that we all go through. So she's going to share her insights with us on helping your relationship and helping hopefully keep a lot more couples together as they go through that journey of becoming parents. Then I've got the very exciting Layla Martin, and her thing is called The Sexy Revolution. So she is empowering women around sex, which again, after babies, can be a real issue for women. So she's done works with tantric and the Thais traditions, and her thing is about creating self-love and self-empowerment and then how that translates into your sex life, which, yeah, as I said, it can be a real issue for people after having a baby. You just got no mojo. Robin Grill is an exciting guest. He is a psychologist, and his work, he has done a lot of research and work in around developing our emotional intelligence, which is what we've talked quite a bit today. And one of the key things with him is that showing empathy creates empathy. There's actual scientific evidence of how when someone shows you empathy, you have to learn empathy. Someone shows you empathy, your brain develops. So he's really interesting, great insights on how to work with your children to develop more emotional intelligence. And another lovely lady who's also really exciting to talk to, Mary Jo McVeigh, is her work is around child protection and preventative and recovery from trauma and abuse. So that's a really interesting discussion on how to the road of helping healing, but also then looking at, you know, if you look at, once you start looking at that road of abuse, to really start looking much earlier on at preventing even mild forms of trauma and abuse and how you can work with healing those things. And then beautiful. I have the lovely... pair, Peace Mitchell and Katie Garner from Oz Mumpreneur. So their whole business is around supporting mums who run a business as well. So that'll be very insightful for everyone here too.
Well, I think it's such an important topic, and I love that we here at eWomen, EWN Radio Network, that you are part of our team of hosts providing this kind of information and wisdom on such an important topic. The better mothers we are, the better our kids are going to be, and the better our kids are going to be, the better their kids are going to be, and we just pay it forward. And, you know, together we actually can, you know, change the world and make it a better, more compassionate place. So thank you so much for joining us, Tara Darlington, her show Empowering Motherhood on EWNRadioNetwork.com. You can hear her live on Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time, and that's Wednesday at 1 Australian time. So, Tara, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm really excited and really honored and grateful for the opportunity. So, thank you.